Good evening, High Place. Hello. My name is Damon. I am an alcoholic. Just trying to wake everybody up here a little bit. I love the way, I think it's at 6 o'clock, two of you guys pass the basket before you find out whether the speaker's any good or not. We got to try that out in one of our meetings. Let me see. I can't tell you all the experiences I've had with Angel because she's the speaker tonight and it would take too long. I have one though, my favorite. I don't even know if I believe it right now, and I'm not making it up, but this is how it occurred on my phone. Angel goes out to get coffee from the Howe place and goes to get coffee. Angel calls me up and says, "I'm lost. Which way do I go?" "Well, where are you?" "I'm on the interstate." "What are you doing on the interstate?" "What direction are you going?" "I don't know." About 5, 10, I said, "Get off the interstate, turn around and come back." 10 minutes later or so, call, "Where are you at?" "I don't know." Gets off the interstate. She winds up at Ridgeview. And she checks herself in. I'm just going, really? Did I just dream that? I don't know. I don't know of anybody else that could pull that off. So I don't know what the hell to expect tonight. It's very delightful. I told her though, you know, her hair could catch on fire and people wouldn't remember what she said next week, you know. But her hair already caught on fire, so we can't say anything about that. So. Why don't you come on up here, gal? Nice. Oh, I got one other thing I want to tell you. You're going to hear a lot of things, but I watched her for 3 years or more, every day going down to take care of her mom, you know. And she may be crazy, but she's got a heart just on fire. So, pleasure to know you, man.
That's my Damon. That's my Damon. Nobody else's Damon. My Damon, you know. My name's Angel, and I am a grateful alcoholic. Angel. And I'm so blessed and so grateful to be sober tonight and to be here. And look at all you people. Oh, my God. I can't. You know, when I first got here and I met Damon and I did the roundups, you know, the Marietta, the Alituna, and the Atlanta, you know, and then I came here and I thought this was a roundup. Saturday night meeting because, wow, all the best speakers come here, you know? And here I am speaking tonight. Oh, my God. Does that mean that I'm a good speaker, too? That's what I'm telling myself? Whatever. Before I start, I just, you know, a lot of people do their readings at the end. I want to do it, you know, in the beginning because it's just, it gives me peace within myself. So today's daily reflection is forming true partnerships. But it is from our twisted relations with family, friends, and society at large that many of us have suffered the most. We have been especially stupid and stubborn about them. The primary fact that we fail to recognize is our total inability to form a true partnership with another human being. That's from the 12 Steps and the 12 Traditions on page 53. Can these words apply to me? Am I still unable to form a true partnership with another human being? What a terrible handicap that would be for me to carry into my sober life, in my sobriety. I will meditate and pray to discover how I may be a trusted friend and companion. And this is what I got from AA. You know, I've got some really good relationships, really healthy relationships. And in my life, that did not occur. You know, I did not have that. I had chaos, hell, crazy, just batshit crazy. Nothing normal. Nothing normal. I don't even know what normal is. I had a way to come here to find out, but it took me a very long time. Very, very long time. And I'll tell you later how long it took. And today's thought of the day, the AA thought for the day. When we came into AA, we made a tremendous discovery. We found that we were sick persons rather than moral lepers. We were not such odd ducks as we thought we were. We found other people who had the same illness that we had, who had been through the same experiences that we had been through. They had recovered. If they could do it, we can do it. Was hope born in me the day I walked in AA. Meditation for the day. He that heareth these saying and doeth them is like unto a man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. When your life is built upon obedience to God and upon doing his will, as you understand it, you will be steadfast and unmovable in the midst of storms. The serene, steadfast, unmovable life, the rock, home, is laid stone by stone, foundations, walls, and roof by acts of obedience to the heavenly vision, the daily following of God's guidance, and the daily doing of his will shall build your house upon a rock. Prayer for the day. I pray that my life may be founded upon the rock of faith. I pray that I may be obedient to the heavenly vision. And I want you to know that this is something that, you know, when I came in, wasn't possible. But I'll get to that in a minute. Again, my name's Angel. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm really not nervous, you know, because today, and I'm only going to speak for today, okay, God's got me. God's got me because today I should be drinking. You know, I buried my mother on this day 3 years ago, and I should be drinking. Yeah, but here I am telling my story, you know, in front of everybody that all eyes are on me, and this is all I've ever wanted in my entire life: somebody to love me. Somebody, please, 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 love me. You know, I was born in Israel. You know, I'm a foreigner, like my parents. And I came to America when I was 6 years old. And all hell broke loose at 6 years old. My parents were Holocaust survivors. And my life was really filled with a lot of pain, suffering. It really was, you know. I fell victim to it myself, you know. When I came to America, you know, I met this girl. Her name was Flora, you know, and she became my friend. And she beat me up every day for years, you know, and I let her do it because she told me I was stupid because I couldn't talk English, you know. But, you know, when I went to meet her parents, her father molested me. And that was going on for years, too. And I thought she was beating me up, not only because I was stupid, it was because I was allowing him to do this. That's how it was for me, you know. And when I was 8 years old, I was writing dirty words on the walls of a movie theater, the Rugby movie theater in Brooklyn. And the police put me in the car and brought me to jail. 8 years old, you know, and my parents had to come and get me, you know. But this is my life. This is what I did, you know. I ran away from home all the time, all the time. I could not live in my house. I could not bear the pain. It was so bad, you know. All the horror stories, horror after horror after horror, you know, being made to watch the movie so I shall never forget, you know. And I didn't forget. I carried it around for many, 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 many years, you know. And, you know, God bless my mom. It's hard for me to even say anything bad about her because, you know, the end of her life was beautiful between us. Our relationship was, I learned a big word, tumultuous, you know. And I hated my mother. I hated her so badly. I hated her. Hated her. She called me Hitler, you know, and she just instilled so much pain, you know. And the the saddest and the hardest thing that I had to deal with was being Jewish. That was a curse, you know. And sometimes when I see something on TV, like I'm watching the show now, Black something, and, you know, I see the Jewish people getting killed and shot, you know. But the stories my mother told me, I ran for my life. I literally believed that I was going to be shot, you know. And as a result of that, you know, I suffered from tremendous, tremendous anxiety. Really bad anxiety. I've been in therapy and to a psychiatrist since I'm 15 years old. That's a long, long, trust me, a long, long time, you know. And I'm also bipolar. You know, my mom was bipolar, but I didn't find out until later on in life, you know. But so my life was based on fear. Tremendous, tremendous fear. Not only tremendous fear, but rage. Beyond rage. You know, they talk about road rage. Mine was worse than that. All I wanted to do was kill, you know. And who did I want to kill? Hitler. You know, how can I get him? You know, how can I get him? And where is God in all of this? My parents were Hasidic Jews. Believe it or not, I was a Orthodox Jew at one time, you know, with the long skirts and that didn't work out very well. I went to church, you know, I went to church. I became a Catholic, but not really. So I feared being Jewish. I never admitted it ever. And in 1993, when I had about a few years of sobriety, oh, yeah, I forgot to say, I'm going to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I forgot then. And my sobriety date is March 26, 1989. Holy sh... Really? I remember when I had 32 days. Jesus, okay, all right. Okay, let me get back to the Jewish spot. So all my life I feared it, and then in 1993, when I met my third husband, you know, I heard some girls talking about something called a cursillo. Does anybody know what a cursillo is? No? Well, let me tell this Jew. Let me tell what I told myself, you know. How can I possibly swing this? It was a total Christian awakening. Everything was Jesus. Everything was Jesus. There was the layman and this man and that man. And oh, my God. It was so Christian, you know, that I was so happy. I was so happy. I didn't have to hear about the Jewish people getting shot, you know, or them doing this, or they can't do that, you know. That's all I've ever heard in my entire life, you know. And when I met my Catholic girlfriend, I was so happy. I was so happy. She took me to church, and we played basketball for the police athletic league, you know, and she was my best friend, you know, and she stopped the molester, and she stopped Flora from beating me up, you know. But then, putting that aside for a moment, my parents, I think we were here about a couple of years, and my parents opened up a luncheonette, you know, and they had candy and all sorts of goody stuff. And I think I was in the third grade. And Nathaniel, Wilhelmina, and Audrey, every day they would go like this. That means I'm going to beat your ass at 3 o'clock if you don't get candy for us. And boy, did I become a people pleaser, let me tell you. You know, that took me straight into sobriety all the way. Until I'm not doing it right now, but it didn't stop, you know, when I first got here, you know. I people please all the time. I wanted so much for people to love me, you know. It was really sad, you know. My mom loved my brother and loved my father, and my brother loved my mother and my father loved my mother and my brother. What about me? You know? What did I do so wrong? You know, what did I do so wrong? You know, I was a little girl. And I had to go places. I had to go places. I had to go find some place to feel loved, you know. So I was in the streets at 8 years old, 6 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old. I ran away from home when I was 12. I slept in sanitation bins, and I used to steal bagels from the stores. I went to every store and stole bagels, you know. And I did all these crazy things, you know, and this is before drinking, you know. I was running for my life. I was just running for my life. I had to run for my life. I just couldn't be home. You know, I couldn't take it. I couldn't be there. Nobody loved me anyway, you know. At least when I was being molested, he was loving me. He was showing me attention. At least when I was getting beat up, she was showing me attention. That's pretty sad, you know, to grow up and think like that. You know, so, but anyway, that's over, you know, and that's done, and, you know, I'm okay with all that because it's over. It's not happening anymore, you know. And when I was 11 years old, that's when it all began, you know. I fell in love with this guy. His name was Michael Lustre. He was hot to try. He was gorgeous, you know. And I wanted him to love me, so, you know, he lit up some pots. That's the first thing I smoked. I'm such an addict. I smoked three bowls. Three pot bowls! You know, a pipe? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was out of it. Completely and totally out of it. That was my first way of getting high. And then when I was 12, a year later, I started to go to the park, Tilden Park. You know, and everybody was drinking. And, oh, my God, that was it. That was it. I found it, you know. Pot, I wasn't crazy about, but I found the alcohol, you know. The drugs, too. It's a very big part of my story. But this is AA, and I'll keep it to AA. First time I drank was two bottles of Gypsy Rose. I'm telling my age right now. Yeah. Very much. And then I graduated to Ripple, you know. Can't tell you how much I drank of that. Then I graduated to Schaefer beer. Schaefer. Remember Schaefer? Well, you remember Schaefer. Hello. Then I went to Rheingold. And then I went to it. The vodka orange juice, the screwdriver. Till today, I gag on orange juice. I can't drink orange juice. Imagine that. And you know how long ago that was? A very, very long time ago. You know. And everything was just wonderful, you know. I didn't feel pain anymore, you know. I didn't drink and drug every single day, but I was just always so oblivious to everything, you know. I wasn't existing, you know. I mean, I wasn't living. I was just existing, you know. I just hung around in the parks and I cut school. Seventh grade was the first time I cut school, and I never went back, and I graduated to 10th grade. Huh? I must have been sleeping those few years because I don't remember getting to 10th grade. I don't remember what happened. You know, and I really I drank myself to death. I wanted to die. I really did. I wanted to die. I did. I wanted to die, and I don't know, something happened that I didn't die. Honestly, you know, I was on a mission. I was on a suicide mission. So when I was about 13, 14, 15, I met my first husband-to-be. Oh, my God. He was the man of my dreams. Mr. Mafia. Mafia. He's going to take good care of me, you know. He beat the shit out of me every single day of my life. Put me in the hospital. Umpteen times. But you know, when I did my fourth step, I had a lot to do with it too. I was a provocative bitch. I would provoke your ass like you have no idea. You know, and I did that with all my men. So it's not all the men that I always say, oh, it's the men. It's their fault. No. I had a whole lot to do with it too, you know. My fourth step helped me. Fourth and fifth step helped me with that, you know. And, there's just so much more that I can share, you know, but I don't know. I want to talk a little bit about my gratitude and to get into the steps to the best of my ability, because I have never done the steps from the big book. I've done it with the step books, you know, and my first sponsor, when I got her, oh boy, she just told me, just, you know, You work them every day of your life. You work them every day of your life. Ba, 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 ba. And I wasn't happy with that, so I dumped her. And I met this really great gal, you know, and then she sponsored me, and I was able to do the, I went up to the fourth and fifth step, and I did it good. It was pretty thorough, you know. And I found out a lot about myself, you know, and what parts I played it in, and, you know, what a victim. Yeah, I was a victim. Hello? I was a victim when I was a young kid. You know. But today, I'm 66 years old. I'm not a victim anymore. And you know, when I get into my anger, which I really suffer from, I'm a victim. I mean, what gives? You know, 32 years sobriety, that shit's got to stop, and it's going to stop, because Damon's going to make sure. All right, my Damon? What? And let me just tell you about my first step, okay? God, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous on May 26th, 1989, I looked at that and I went, huh? I went, what? I'm Jewish. What are you talking about? Jews do not drink alcohol. Right, Miss Sarah? My friend Sarah here, I met her several years back, and I was sharing that, you know, I'm Jewish. I can't be an alcoholic. Only the Irish are alcoholic. That's the truth. The ladies had the blonde hair. The man had the tan pants with pee in it. That's what I visioned it, and that's what it was. And when I met Sarah, I was so excited because she told me she was Jewish. Oh, my God. This is the Bible Belt of the world. This poor little Jew, a Holocaust surviving child, comes to Bible Belt, and she meets Sarah, you know? What a great thing that was, and I love you, Sarah, for that. I really do. I'll talk more about my speakers and stuff. So, yeah, I really believed I wasn't an alcoholic. Do you know that it took me 19 years when I came here to Georgia to admit I was an alcoholic? What? Wow. How the hell did I do this? I'll tell you later how I did this. And when I saw that Elias had become unmanageable, what? This is what unmanageable is. You know, to be okay, to be normal, whatever that means, you know? So when I read that, I said, no, it's not me. But I was ready to do the fourth step in 4 minutes. You know, I was ready for that, you know. I knew everything, you know, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it for a long time. But what I did realize is that I came in. Where am I? Where is that? Promotion, whatever. What is it? Is it the 11? There you go. Our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films. I didn't know this, but I was attracted. And I stood because I didn't want to let go of any of the people that were there because they liked me. They told me to come back. And they always said, let us love you till you can learn to love yourself. Oh, my God, when I heard those words. That's the only thing I ever heard, honestly. It's the only thing I really ever heard. Yeah, and like today, it's like, oh, my God. You know, maybe 32 years later, it may have taken a very, very long time, but I'm learning to love myself. You know, that's a big thing for this poor little garbage head girl who was a horrible mother, a horrible daughter, a horrible sister, you know, a horrible. That's what I was. When I came here, I had complete and total self-loathe. I hated myself as much as I hated my mother, you know. But then in 2009, my brother passed away, and I was living here, and my mom was in Brooklyn. You know, and then I found out she was going blind in one eye. I said, no, something has to happen, you know, and I brought it here. I went to Brooklyn and I brought it here. And she was in a nursing home, you know, and, I was with her every day for 6 months. 6 months to make sure that she was safe. She felt safe and secure. And she would always tell me, Angel, I can't understand these people the way they talk. You know? I said, are you kidding? They can't understand how I talk. You know, I used to tell her that all the time. And she had a real tough time, you know. But, you know, like Damon said, you know, you know, as bad as the relationship was with my mother, something had to give. Something had to give, you know. And something did. Something happened, you know. And I'll get to that part with God in a minute, you know. And I took care of her, you know. I went there 3-4 times a week, every single week for 7 years, you know. And 3 years ago, yesterday, she passed. You know, she passed in my arms. She passed in my arms. My mommy, you know, my mommy. She's gone, you know. And it was really hard. But you know what happened? The blessing was, is that, wow. You know, it didn't have to be tumultuous anymore. It didn't have to be that way anymore. It was good. I loved doing laundry for her. You know, it was great. I did laundry for her. And when I came into the room, she'd say, hi, Nutsula. She called some Romanian names, you know, Nutsula. And when I come in the room, she'd say, hi, beautiful. Oh, my God. Is this my beautiful daughter? And I would call her up and I would say, is this my beautiful mom? You know, and it was just so nice, you know, and... You know, this was my calling to do this tonight, you know, because I knew it was 3 years yesterday, you know, and I knew it was going to be a very somber day for me in today's 3 years that I buried her, but this was my calling. You know, this is my way of saying, Mom, I'm letting go, you know. It's, the war is over, you know, the war is over. It wasn't a great way to live, the way I lived, you know. It wasn't a loving environment, but I know today she did the best that she could. She did the best that she could, you know. And I could never say that before, you know. I just thought she didn't love me, and, you know, I was Hitler, and that was it, you know. And I didn't deserve to live, you know. So when I met my husband when I was 15 years old, going back to that, I got pregnant when I was 17, and when I got pregnant, he kicked me down a flight of stairs, and he kicked me in my stomach, and had his family come after me, the mob, and nothing happened, but he made me take inducing pills so I could abort the baby. I didn't abort the baby. I had the baby, you know, and everybody loved the baby, you know. But it didn't turn out very well at all, you know, him beating me up every day, going to the hospital all the time, you know, and I thought this man was going to love me and take care of me because he was mafia, you know, they take care of their family, they do, they take care of their family, they kill everybody, but they take care of the family, you know, and I got very heavily involved with the mob, you know, when I moved to the city in Knickerbocker Plaza. I was hanging out with bookies, they're the ones that do the numbers. And I was hanging out with a lot of mob people, you know. And I had to go on the lam at one time. You know, I never really shared this, but I was having sex with this guy. His name was Richie. And I was having sex with his father. And when he found out, he came after me. But I had another whatever guy, you know, took me to his penthouse on 88th and York Avenue and did bladder acid. Oh, boy, what a high that was. Let me tell you. It was great. It was really great, you know, but it didn't last long. You know, it didn't last long. I ran away. I went back to Brooklyn and got away from the whole spiel. And, you know, that was it with that, you know. It was just crazy time. And I was also a go-go dancer. Yeah. The white boots, these girls. With the tassels on the nipples, you know, and shaking my ass in front of all these drunken men. But let me tell you, I was so drunk. I don't know how I didn't fall off the stage. I should have fell off that stage for sure, you know. You know, and of course, I was having sex with the boss. Every job I ever landed, you know, for many, many, many buku years, I either slept with the manager or the boss, you know, because they were going to take care of me. See, everything I did was out of, you know, lack of love. Just wanted to be loved. Just wanted to be loved. Love, love, love me, love me. I'll do anything you want me to do. Just love me. I was begging for love. I was begging for love all my life, you know. And now I'm getting it. I'm getting it tonight. I feel it, boy. It feels real good. So, second step and third step. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Look what God did to the Jewish people. And this is what I went through this whole entire time for 25 years in the program. That's not possible. It's impossible. There's no such thing as God. If there was a God, he wouldn't have killed 6 million Jews. You know, he wouldn't have done that. That's what I believed. You know, today I do believe in a power greater than myself. You know, it's everybody here. And I do have a higher power, and I'll share that in a minute. On the third step, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. As we understood him, I didn't understand him. When I did my fourth step with my sponsor, she was my God. You know, I still didn't have God. I did not have God. I refused to have God. I absolutely refused. It's impossible. There's no such thing as God. You know, and getting back to this for 1 second, the Crucio, the Christian awakening, let me tell you, you could only do that once in your life. If you ever want to read up on it, you could only do it once in your life. And at the end, they march you down and they sing When the Saints Come Marching Home, you know. It's like, it's a 3-day thing that just totally cleanses you. And it's so Christian oriented based. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful thing. If anybody could ever do it, believe me when I tell you, it's just the most remarkable thing. You too, Sarah. Okay. Fourth step. I really didn't have a problem doing the fourth step, you know, the first time, because I loved my sponsor. You know, she was really great. You know, she was fabulous. She used me as a scapegoat. She became a lesbian and she wanted to have a relationship with her. And I said no. And she said, "You're my cancer. Get out of my life." Whoa. Hello? Like what? Okay. But anyway, I was able to do the fourth step and the fifth step. I admitted everything, you know. How many times did I do the fourth step with you, Damon? 2, 3, 4. I'm ready for another one. Anyway. You know, I did make a searching, feel small inventory. I know what I've done, you know. I've accepted what I've done, you know. My heaviest issue is my daughter. It's a real heavy issue for me. We haven't spoken in a year. You know, she blames me for everything in her life, and that's the way she keeps it, and that's what she tells her kids and tries to keep the kids away from me, you know. It's really hard and really tough, but I am willing. I am willing to let go of the not liking her bit, you know. I'm like ready to, you know, want to remember the good, you know, the good times that we had with all my resentments. You know, I pray every day that they be lifted. I pray for the willingness. Damon always tells me, pray for the willingness, the willingness, the willingness. What willingness? You know, I never knew what that meant, you know, but today I do pray for the willingness. I do. I don't want these resentments. I don't want to hate your friggin' guts. You know, I don't want that. I'll tell you who I hate, Xfinity. They are the ones that I hate the most, and I don't think I'll ever let go of that resentment, you know? But anyway, you know, yeah, I admit it to God, to myself, and to, and you know, others, you know, about my wrongs, you know, I said it, I did it, you know, and I gotta tell you, you know, for me, the first time I did it was freedom of bondage, you know? It was real freedom of bondage. It was such a relief, like, oh my God. But that was just the surface. But for me, it was still freedom of bondage. And that's what came out of that. Sixth step. Oh boy, oh boy. I got so many character defects, you know? and I have to give them up. Why? They saved my ass. They saved my ass. Are you kidding me? My pride? Are you kidding? My pride? You know who I am? I'm the next best thing to chocolate ice cream. I was everything. I was the goddess of Brooklyn. Oh, my God. Why did I come into AA with such self-loathe and self-hatred if I was the goddess of Brooklyn? You know, what is that? Inferiority complex with the whatever. Okay. So, you know, I didn't want to let go of them. I didn't want to let go of any of them. And I have 90%, you know. I have, my issue is my anger, and that comes from way back when, and I'm still struggling with that, and I know Damo will get me out of that one, you know. When it comes to the seventh step, you know, that's a given, you know, that's a prayer every day, every single day, that's a prayer every single day, you know. He will relieve me from my shortcomings if I allow him, if I become willing, and if I am willing, you know. My eighth and ninth, I made an incredible amends with my mother. It was a living amends. It was beautiful. You know, it was wonderful. I really wasn't able to do it with my brother. He passed. My dad, he passed, you know. And, you know, the people that I've hurt, I made amends, you know. I apologized and I was sincere about it, you know. And, you know, my mom was the big one. She was the big one, you know. And I tried with my daughter. I tried so hard with my daughter. I allowed her to, you know, do whatever she wanted to me, you know, whatever she wanted me, you know, treat me like shit. I didn't care. Just love me, you know. Look how good I am. I'm trying. I was trying too hard. That's what I was doing. All I wanted to do is, I knew I wasn't a success as a mother, you know, so I became very good at being a grandma, you know. That didn't work out too well for me either, you know, because she took them away from you all the time, you know, and it's just it's a very strange relationship, but you know, when there's a God and there's a will, there's a way, and I believe that it will happen when it's supposed to happen. If it happened with me and my mother, it's gonna happen with me and my daughter. I have faith. I really do. The tenth step is a real good one for me, boy. Admit that I'm wrong. Are you kidding? Me? Me? I'm never wrong, you know? That was me when I came here, hello? Never was I ever wrong. You were wrong, and you were wrong, and you were wrong, but I wasn't wrong. Oh my God, how wrong I was, you know? And today I try, you know, and I can make an amends with Daniel right now. I love you, and I apologize to you for being such a bitch. See how easy that is? It's gone. It's your namaste. It's gone. You see how it's gone? All you gotta do is just let go and just say, I'm sorry, you know, and don't do it again. Yeah. The 11th step. Oh, let me get to the God part. This is the best. When I opened up the meeting and I said, I'm blessed and grateful to be here and to be sober and whatnot. Let me tell you something. In this program, I did not have God, as you know, as my story, as I told you. In my 25th year, I went home, I got on my knees, and I prayed, God, let me seek you. And I meant it, and I meant it so much. I woke up in the morning with a glow in my face. Everything was beaming. You know, that's incredible. That is, I can tell you that this happened to me. This is my spiritual awakening. And I found the God of my understanding. I found higher power. Oh my God. And let me tell you something. From the moment that I came into the program until my 25th year, I wasn't okay. I really wasn't okay. But in my 25th year, I knew I was going to be okay. I knew it. But of course, my pride wouldn't let me tell you that I was going to get better, you know. But I did get better. I have such an incredible, incredible God. I can't, how the hell did I do this program without having God in my life? But guess what? He intervened every day of my life. I just didn't know it. You know, I didn't believe it. God, no, it can't be. But he did. He did. Every day he was in my life. Right, Tracy? Every day. And he's there, and he's there. And today my God is so big. I thought I'd pee in my pants up here, you know, or do something crazy, you know. But I'm okay, you know. I felt this sense of peace, you know. Even going to the cemetery with my girlfriend Tracy, you know, it was like I brought two Hello Kitty balloons. If you don't know, I love Hello Kitty. And you know, I told my mom it's time to let you go, you know. And I did, you know, I did. I do miss her, and I miss doing her laundry, I do. And I miss her saying, this is my beautiful daughter, and I miss saying, hi, beautiful. And I do. Well, she's resting in peace now, you know, and I'm carrying on her legacy. Because she was the first woman to escape the camp, you know, and she went on the ship of Shalom. She was the first woman, and then she was imprisoned by Queen Elizabeth, you know. She went through her stuff, you know. But I remembered that she was the first woman on the ship, you know. And I'm the first woman in the family to be sober, even though nobody drinks. That's my thing, you know. Yeah, I'm sober, you know. Her perseverance got me through everything, and I didn't know that. And I wish I could say, Mom, oh my God, she has done so much for me. I just like, wow. But to be able to let it go, you know, just say, Mom, just be in peace, is such a blessing. It really is a blessing, you know. And that's my 11th step, you know. I have a conscious contact with him every day. Every day. And Damon every day says, how big is your God? He kicks my ass. He really kicks my ass. And it's always small, and then it always is so huge. I love you, Damon. Damon is my sponsor. Imagine that. No, don't get your man. You can't have a male sponsor. Oh, yeah, that's what they told me. And I went, yeah, watch me. You know, but Damon is, oh my God, Damon and I went through some shit, let me tell you. Oh my God, I love Damon. He'll be my sponsor until I drop dead, or until I kill him. And then the 12th step, have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. Yes, 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 I did have that because I did the steps, and I do the steps every single day. Carrying the message to the alcoholic, whoever wants to hear it, I'll say it. You know, I'll tell anybody about it. I don't care who you are, where you are. I have a patient that I take care of. Nobody knows her name, and nobody's going to know her name, and she's an alcoholic. How do you like that? So me and her have something in common, and it's wonderful. I got a great job, finally, you know. And practice these principles in all my affairs. Damon makes sure that I do that. You know, he makes sure that I do that, you know, and I struggle with it, but I do it. But anyway, I met Tracy 10 years ago, you know, I was at the, she was one of my readers, she read The Promises, and I don't know, when I saw her, I fell in love. Don't get excited, it's not a lesbian thing, okay? I fell in love with her, because she just radiates beauty beyond beauty. She really does, you know, and she asked me to sponsor her, you know, and what a delight she was, you know, but I really wasn't so into that sponsoring thing, you know what I mean, because I wasn't really well, you know, and then she got married, did her thing, and she came back. What is it, how many years is it now? Are we together? Long time, and you know, we work together. She sponsors me. I sponsor her. Damon, you're my sponsor. Don't worry about it. You know, and we work together. We help each other all the time. I love Tracy. She's my sister. And now my sister, Sarah. Oh, my God. What a blessing she was. I didn't have a Jewish friend here, you know. It was like, okay, but I mix very well with the Catholic people, you know. But when I met her and she said, oh, yeah, I got drunk on Manischewitz wine. That's what she said to me. And I went, oh, shit, well, I didn't. How do you get drunk on, oh, my God. That is, if you like wine and you touch that, you'll never drink wine again. That's how bad it is. It is, it's absolutely disgusting. You know, and I love Sarah, you know. And she got married, just recently got married to a wonderful man. Finally met a wonderful man, and that's wonderful, and I'm truly happy. And Jennifer, when I met Jennifer, my other readers, she read How It Works, Sarah, and Jennifer read The Traditions. When I met her, I said, oh my gosh, she's like an angel. So sweet, and she talks so sweet. And she shared her story at the Winner's Circle and was like, wow. I fell in love with her too, you know. Such great, great girls, you know. And Stacy, and she just recently got married to her husband, Tim, you know. She's, boy, she kicks my ass, you know. Oh, yeah? She gives me that look with the face. Oh, yeah? You know, all the time. Oh, yeah? Is that it? Yeah? She says, well, you know, I'm a straight shooter. Oh, really? So am I. I'm from Brooklyn, you know. Yeah, I'm a straight shooter. Exactly. But I love you, Stacey, you know. To everybody. I mean, I just... And here's my friend, my gym buddy. His name is Brian, you know. I mean, he's got a story, but he's not an alcoholic. I mean, but he's got a story, too. And he's my buddy, Suzanne and Daniel and Flo and you and you and you and you and you and Diane, you know. When I met Diane, it was like, wow, she's got a lot of shit with her, doesn't she, you know? Ooh-wee. But she's got good sobriety. She's got real good sobriety. I'm so honored that you ladies, you know, shared for me, you know, did the readings for me. And, you know, I want to thank you so much for that. And my hairstylist is here. She cut my hair. Miss Josie. She's speaking next week. And look at my flowers. I mean, wow, people do like me. I'm getting the feeling that people are liking me, you know. And, you know, this has really been an honor, you know, and all I really wanted to do was just to try to help somebody, you know, maybe they can't identify with my story, but just with the feelings, those hard, sad, painful feelings, and hopefully someone got something out of this, and, you know, this has been a real delight for me, and I just want to thank you all for allowing me to speak. Thank you.